think the energy of today is going to be like...
Fuck you. Fuck you.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
Dorkspawn.
Dorkspawn.
We drink. We drink during Dorkspawn. Every episode,
we
for
do.
Those who don't know. We drink during every episode. We've had a coffee spawn. Today is pretty hungover.
It's so hungover. So hungover that when I woke up this morning, I thought, maybe I'm drunk. Maybe I'm drunk.
If you want to know kind of what the energy of our night was like, if you go on to Dylan's Blue Sky, there is a tweet.
From last night, because I will post this in like an hour.
Yeah.
So from last night's Blue Sky feed, you will see me ask a question about MCR and Paramore.
Which was misphrased. I want to make that so fucking clear. It was.
It wasn't.
Dylan said, who has more cultural impact, Paramore or MCR? When the actual conversation was, who is currently today more relevant, Paramore or MCR?
It's the same question.
We cannot get into this again. It is not the same question. It's
they
so
were
fucking
so
different.
Mean to me last night. And I don't just mean this twink. I mean I mean all of them.
All of them.
Every one of them.
You had Viditya. Viditya was on your side.
I had Viditya until I then tried to have any conversation about Coit and Cambria.
Oh, because you said some absolutely insane things that we genuinely can't get into because it's going to be the whole show.
Mm.
And our lives will irrevocably change. Our relationship can't stand it.
Our relationship is fine. It's rock solid. Yeah.
We held each other this morning and said, I wish all relationships were like this.
What did we say?
We said that this is the standard.
This is the standard
we just
for
need,
love.
We need this, but romantic.
Yeah. I need this, but put it in a romantic font.
Yeah.
That's what I need
this
in my
life.
This
is in simple Helvetica.
Yeah.
Simple Helvetica, like no bolds, no italics.
Yeah.
A little bit of italics occasionally.
Sometimes italics.
Yeah, but it's not romantic. It's not fanciful.
What are we talking about?
I don't know.
Like I'm losing my mind.
We're talking about... Oh, I was going to yell Dragon Age. I was going to say we're talking about Dragon Age, and we are not, in fact.
We're not talking about Dragon Age.
But what are we doing here, Dylan?
Dorkspawn. My name is Dylan. I've played one Mass Effect game.
My name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. This is Dorkspawn, where we play choice-based games, and then we talk about them. Like
yep.
A book club.
Like a book club.
This week, we're on Mass Effect 2, and we did the Lair of the Shadow Broker DLC.
Fun shit. Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Holy shit. It's just a really well-written buddy cop action movie.
But, yeah.
It's just the fucking
best. It's got twists. It's got surprises. It's got Liara Tozzani.
Liara Tozzani. Who, because in the, so I romanced her in the first game, as we know.
I didn't
like her in the first game.
Which doesn't explain her behavior. That girl is a freak about Shepard.
Yeah, calm down. This is what I was saying, where it's like she canonically has feelings for Shepard like the whole way through.
Girl,
but just
stand
doesn't.
Up. Liara, like
she is. She does crazy shit in this fucking in Lair of the Shadowbroker. I have also done Tally's, Miranda's, and Jack's loyalties.
And I didn't.
Morden
Solis and
Grunt.
Grunt.
Do you want to talk about them before we get into Lair of the Shadow Broker?
Oh, do I want to? Yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's do that first. I will tell you what. I took almost no notes whatsoever.
That's fine. I have
so grand.
So, Tuchanka.
Tuchanka! First of all, best planet name, I think.
In the, great mouthfeel.
Great mouthfeel. And also, it feels like... What are they called?
A planet?
No.
Any words. Any describing words. Hit me with them. Hit me with them.
Rex and Grunt, what are they?
They're Krogan.
Krogans, thank you.
It feels
like a Krogan. It just feels like it fits the vibe of Krogans.
Yeah.
What planet are the Krogans from? T'Chanka? Yeah, no, that makes sense. That feels right.
It feels good. We land on T'Chanka. It is basically ruins as a planet.
Yeah.
Because it has undergone several mass bombings and war consistently. We land. They say the clan leader wants to speak to you.
Yeah. And who's that clan leader? Who is he?
It's our fucking boy.
It's our fucking boy, Rex.
It's our fucking boy,
it's
Rex.
It's our fucking man, Rex. If Rex dies, who's there?
Someone else.
Just some random guy.
Just some random guy who does not like you.
Sucks. Yeah. Man.
But
I'm
it's
so
Rex,
sad.
Our boy who loves us.
Who loves us and is so happy to see us and is like... And we're okay about the old Genophage cure being destroyed because it stopped the Krogans from being, like, under undue influence. So we're okay. We're forgiven about that.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Rex is currently fighting with another clan leader.
Yes.
About... They're like, oh, well, I don't think you should run and blah, blah, blah. And, like, is questioning all of Rex's decisions. And Rex says,
and Rex is, like, such a leader.
Yeah. He says, I'll drag your clan to glory whether it likes it or not.
Yeah.
Which is an awesome line.
Hot.
That's fucking sick. We love our fucking guy.
Let me fuck a Krogan.
Oh, we gotta be fucking a Krogan. It's crazy that they don't let us fuck a Krogan in this.
They don't understand us at all.
They don't.
They don't get us.
That is something that if it was made today, we'd be able to fuck a Krogan.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was made in the conservative past. Rex says that... Well, he doesn't say this directly, but he reveals that he is letting T'Chanka run on a Yeomancy, which is all of the people decide their own kind of laws and their way to deal with stuff in their own small groups. And if something gets really, really big, then Rex can step in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mainly everyone keeps to themselves and runs on their own stuff and then comes to us for the big stuff.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Because we love
a Yeomancy here.
Yeah.
He talks about Okir and says that he is. Because we mention, we're like, oh, Grunt is feeling all these feelings.
Yeah, Grunt is feeling sick. Like, we think that Grunt has an illness of some kind. Can you help us fix him?
And Rex is like, oh, there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine.
Well, so Rex actually is like, what the fuck is that guy?
Oh, that's true.
Because Grunt was like built in a lab, essentially. And like Grunt and Rex have a little bit of like a back and forth because Grunt is like, I'm the perfect Krogan. And Rex is like, you're not even real. I don't even recognize that. And, like, Rex is, like, disturbed by the fact that Grunt is made from, like, the distilled genes of all of these, like, warlording Krogans.
Mm.
And is, like, that's not something you should be proud of. They have this really intense butting of heads. And then finally Rex is, like, well... If this is a path you want to go down and you want to become a full Krogan, you have to go through
this trial.
Like a coming of age thing.
He also talks about Okir and how Okir is not a good or liked man at all. He's evil. And then Grunt says, oh, he's dead. And Rex says, you're with Shepard. How would he be alive?
Mm.
Which I think is very good. Because that's a fucking boy.
Rex, what kind of genitals do you have?
I need to get on.
I need to get on him. You tell me how it works. I'll figure it out. I'll get
He also says that Rex allows Grunt to do the trials because of you.
Yes.
Because you're with Shepard, Rex is like, yeah, he can. He can do the trials.
Yeah.
Even to the chagrin of some other people who are more angry that Grunt is made in a tube. They then go, we find the shaman, and yep. we're like, hey,
we need to
do this. The shaman's like, okay, well, you need a battle master. And Grunt says, well, Shepard is my battle master. And then from now on refers to Shepard as battle master Shepard, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
Then you do a big fight.
Yeah.
You do a big fight. You do, they have these, it feels almost religious, but it is just a talking about the history of the Krogan as this huge, oh my God. It's like a very, very heavy metal thing that raises into the sky and then, lands on the ground and then calls things to you.
Yeah.
Ending with a Threshermore being summoned, this giant like worm bug creature. You don't even have to kill it. You just have to survive for five minutes.
Yeah. But it's a timer thing.
But if you do kill it, they're like, holy shit! I can't believe someone killed a Threshermore. No one has done that since Rex did it. Rex is the only person. It's pretty cool. Then the person who is all up in arms against Grunt flies down and is like, hey, I truly don't think that you should be accepted. And then you fight and wipe him out.
Just absolutely wipe the floor with him. And yeah. I'm just like, you're wrong about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Grunt is like, damn, I feel better. And then he gets accepted into Clan Erdnot. So he's part of Rex's clan.
Which is Rex's clan, which is awesome.
Yeah. And then is allowed to keep traveling with you.
Yeah.
Under the guise of Rex. Rex is like, yep, that's fine.
Yeah. You're ask Rex to come back and he was like, I can't.
Yeah, he says that he can't, but he's actually angry at the fact that he can't do that. Unlike Liara, when you're like, hey, Liara, want to come? And she's like, oh, I have, you know, work stuff to do. Rex is like, oh, fuck! Damn it! I want it so bad!
I want it so bad! No!
But I can't.
But I have a job!
I have a fucking entire society
I'm
of
a
people.
Chieftain!
No, stop it, please!
Stop it, please!
Please, I want to go!
Rex, this was your choice.
But pretty good mission. However, then we go on to Morden Solus's mission.
Yeah.
One of my favorite missions in like the BioWare kind of canon. I fucking love this mission. Purely based on nothing really happens.
No, it's just a crisis.
It's just Morden grappling with his belief.
Because Morden's assistant that worked with him on the genophage genocide mark II or whatever has been captured essentially by Krogans which like good for them you know like I was like how do I convince myself that Ani cares about this guy it's really just because Morden is upset about it.
That's it. That's a big thing with this game, which I like. It's not that Shepard has to care, but it is like we are going to do a mission where everyone needs to be on top of their game. They can't be distracted. You have to make sure that they're going to be okay.
Yeah. Which, not to bring up past trauma, but I think that this game is executing what Veilguard tried to do in a way that narratively feels like it flows. Right.
At the end of this game, we're going to have a big conversation about the Veilguard and how it relates directly, single line to
Mass
Effect 2.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
I think about it a lot.
The last mission of this game and the last mission of the Veilguard play pretty close to one another. Oh, interesting.
Oh, right. You did actually mention that when we did it.
And
yeah.
I'm really excited to talk about it because it is so... We're fully going to talk about it in, 2 weeks now is when we're going to finish this game. However, comma. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing, is that it's not us caring about it. It's we have to make sure that they are the best. You are being a leader in this, and it's like, all right, need to make sure your crew is okay before anything happens. Anyway.
Yeah.
You find where this guy is. You travel down. You fight a bunch of Krogan.
So many.
You're speaking to people.
Yeah.
And then you find out that they've been using humans as test subjects to the genophage. This is another conversation that we have also talked about, where the collectors are also using people because humans have the most adaptive,
physiology.
So right. it's easier to use humans as test subjects, basically.
And is that the same reason why we found that the collectors were in the last ship?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
We then find a female Krogan who has willingly volunteered to get tested on for this genophage cure. And this is the point when Morden starts having a real crisis about the things that
he's done.
But he also has such an ego about it that it stops him coming fully to terms with it. So,
yeah.
For example, my shepherd said, most people wouldn't be proud of creating a disease whilst looking at it. And Morden says, oh, I didn't create it. I adapted an existing one. That's way harder. And it's like, he can't let go
of the fact that he did such a fucking good job at genocide.
No, really.
Like, my man, his pride is like in the way of him recognizing that he did something wrong, even like as he's sort of realizing he did something fucking wrong.
Yeah, and he just can't come to terms with it. He says that he starts begging that he did it to keep the population stable because it was completely unstable before, and he actually made the genophage better, but in a way that's better for Krogan as well. He would stop the genophage if Krogan made a united government. He would really love that. He says that there's
he's so fucked up.
Yeah, there's too many like varying factors, and they wouldn't be held accountable by anyone. He says all life is worth saving. The Krogan saved the entire galaxy from the Rachni invasion, and that should be worth something. And he's talking about this whilst also talking about the genocide that he did the Krogan. And this is the whole mission. You're doing a few minor fights, and he is just trying to... He's arguing with you, reasoning with himself.
Right, he's therapizing himself at you. Yeah.
I genuinely love it. And then you get to the final bit... You go to free his student, and then it turned out that his student just wanted to cure the genophage.
Right.
That was the point. And then he was like, oh, but you did this as well. Like, you also
you're a part of
it.
Create, yeah.
No, you were my, like, I was your student. Like, I looked up to you and I thought this is the best course of action. I couldn't talk against you. You were so passionate about this.
Right.
And then Morden goes to kill him. Too many variables. You have to die. You're just going to do it again. I was like, no, put the gun down.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Morden doesn't really learn on his own.
No. He's been fighting this one fight for years.
Yeah.
And he just refuses to come to terms with what he's done. And what I really like about this mission is this mission isn't him at the end of it being like, yeah, I was wrong.
No.
It's just like you hear the water of the dam breaking, and that's what this mission is.
It's like,
is his first like,
yeah,
oh fuck, maybe I really did something horrific.
Right. It's like only, which that is, I guess, like, that's kind of a thing in this game.
Yeah.
It's like people don't, like, have the big revelation it's a slow, like, everything is a slow growth.
Yeah. And that is a thing that you can do in this series that you can't do in Dragon Age. Not necessarily.
No, true.
Cullen does have that.
Right. Cullen has that. A few characters have that.
Yeah.
But it's a standard in Mass Effect.
Yeah, because you have three stories. You have years in between this time for this to happen. So Morden and a lot of characters don't come to terms with it now. We have Mass Effect 3 to have them come to terms with the things that they've done.
Crazy.
And it's great. And yeah. This is one of my favorite missions in it, yeah. Just because it is literally just, it's almost a conversation.
Yeah, with this it one really guy just is.
About,
yeah.
About the horrible things that he's done. And I think this is some of my favorite writing, and it's really showing.
Yeah.
Like, Morden is one of my favorite characters throughout in the franchise.
He's really
so great. He's so interesting and so weirdly complicated that it's like, yeah, obviously what he did was horrific. He doesn't super villain, like, because a lot of things where it's like, oh, well, they think they did right. It's a super villain, like, oh, they'll never. It's like, oh, but it was still objectively evil. But Morden genuinely thinks, like, he argues so much, like, no, it had to happen. It was not my fault. Like,
right.
You know, he's like, yeah, I did. And I, because he also admits that he actually doesn't admit that he killed a lot of people. Says, no, that wasn't me. That was the genophage.
Because he's fixated on the fact that he didn't invent it, the original genophage. He just perfected it.
Yeah.
Later.
And then also, like, talks about how he never, like, shot and killed anyone. He never purposely watched people die. And when he's looking at the female Krogan die,
that's his
and being
first...
so desperate to try and heal it that they'll die, that's when he starts having this big crisis,
right.
Of like, oh, I've never been this close to someone who has been personally affected.
And only just starts too. He then doesn't, like, he isn't having, like, a light bulb moment either.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sort of like am I bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool. And he's just my favorite character in
this. He's great.
Yeah, I love him so much. Actually, you know what? Take that back. He's actually not my favorite character in this game. My favorite character in this game hasn't come up yet, which is really exciting. Isn't it so exciting?
What could that possibly mean? What do you mean?
Oh, we're going to have a really big conversation next week, because he's going to come in next week, and I'm really fucking looking forward
crazy.
To it.
Oh, that's
crazy. And any other minor notes for Morden that we have? The Morden Solus mission. Anything about Chuchanka that you liked that you want to talk about? Did you do the stupid little mini game where you shot the fucking monkeys?
Yeah.
What's that? I don't know.
Why
but
did
I,
they put that in there for?
I just really like that it's in there. I have no fucking
it's
idea.
It's so out of nowhere.
It's like the only mini game. It's like
it's so deranged
to everything else. I
that
like
it just
so
comes out
much.
Of nowhere. That's
God,
really
so funny.
Funny.
Yeah, no, it's good. I like Tuchanka. I love the whole zone.
I love Tuchanka.
We spend a little bit more time in the next game, I think, in Tuchanka. But I really like going back there. I really like meeting Rex, seeing what's happening in, like, this background political story that's happening of Rex being the protagonist in a different franchise where he's uniting all of these people.
Yeah.
Seeing what happens with Grunt and people like accepting him and not accepting him and understanding that he is still Krogan in some way, but then also all of the Krogan having their own like difficult feelings when it comes to what a Krogan is.
And what Grunt is.
Yeah. Because it's like, well, if you know, that. Krogan can't. It's really hard for a Krogan to be born naturally,
right?
And this guy was made in a tube, but he is a Krogan. Like, it's all DNA, and then that's a thing that O'Kear does, which is like he's like, I made Krogan though, like I did it,
right? And he's bad. Yeah.
But I would love to have a bigger conversation with him. We talked about this before.
Yeah, yeah.
I really
yeah.
like O'Kear as a character.
Yeah, he's interesting.
Yeah. So, before I did Lair of Shadowbroker, I talked to Thane. I've got his loyalty mission.
Yeah.
Thane has a son who is also a hitman, and Thane needs to go get him out of the life.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
I think that's really cute.
It's a cool, fun little mission. The cool, fun little thing. I haven't done the mission yet. Tally is accused of treason.
Yeah.
On the flotilla. And she's getting trialed, and she's like, hey, can we make a stop if, at any point? Because
which is really funny. Like, I'm going to... Like, hey, do you mind if we make a quick little stop? Because
I'm on trial for
I'm on trial for treason. And I'm going to be disgraced. Could we address that?
But it's a fun bit as well, because you're like, what? Why would they wait? You're on treason. She's like, we don't, our population doesn't have the people to, like...
They're not going to come get me.
They're not going to come get me. They're going to wait a reasonable amount of time. They're also not going to kill me if I get caught for treason. They're just going to exile me. Because we can't... We don't have, like, any form of prison system.
It's just that you're not allowed back.
You're not allowed back is the same as death. They don't have prison system. They just put people to... Like, they just have people work it off.
Yeah. But, like, for Tally, like, that was... That's the most important thing in the world to her, was getting...
Back on the ship.
Was getting, like, proving her worth to get onto the flotilla.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, they're not gonna kill her, but, like, this was the thing she cared about.
Yeah.
So, like, if she was never allowed back, if she was excommunicated, like, that...
Yeah. And it's a awful. Really, I've just done it. That's another really interesting mission that is just kind of talking for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Interesting. I haven't done that yet.
No, it is good. I then went to do Miranda, and then I went on to do Lair of the Shadow Broker, baby.
Lair of the Shadow Broker. I did take some notes about this.
So, Liara.
Liara Dazani.
Liara Dazani is like, hey... You start speaking to her about the Shadow Broker because she needs to go find them.
Yeah.
So the Shadow Broker is a character that we found out about.
In Mass Effect 1.
In, like, the prologue
Right, on the Citadel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This really powerful, like, shadow figure that all governments know about, but they can't get to them. And occasionally they use the Shadow Broker to get information, because the Shadow Broker knows everything.
Yeah. And including is maybe watching Liara.
Yes.
And, like, is maybe, like, she's, like, afraid to do or talk about it because she's being watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You speak to Liara, you're like, okay, let's go deal with this Shadow Broker thing. Liara reveals that she rescued you.
She gave us to Cerberus.
Yeah.
Liara, calm down.
Well, because she was like, I don't have the money to do this, and I don't know anyone with the money, but Cerberus has the money and also has all the technology, and she's like, fuck, I mean, I guess so. And then heals you, and then finds your body, scoops it all up with her friend.
Farron.
Who is a Drell.
Drell, which is the same thing that Thane is.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting.
Very exciting. Because when they first, because she shows you a picture of them, and I was like, what? Like, thinking that Thane was the...
Oh, yeah, Thane, like, was the help.
But
that would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
That would be really cool.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the wood. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs. Brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
But yes, yeah, so she rescued you and then gave you over to Cerberus.
To Cerberus.
And she's like, oh, well, now my friend who helped get you out has now been captured by the Shadow Broker. Yeah. We need to go find them.
Yeah.
And then when you agree to do it, she's like, okay, I'll meet you at my apartment. And then we start a fucking brilliant buddy cop movie.
So fun. So we go to meet her at her apartment, but she's not there. Instead, Taylor Vasir is there.
Mm-hmm.
Another Asari. And she also doesn't know where Liara is. And so we start snooping around together.
It's also a full crime scene. That's important to know.
Right. Liara has a lot of my stuff.
Yep.
In her apartment.
Yeah.
My armor in a display case.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting woman. Interesting woman. We've never kissed. I just I just want it to be very clear. We've never touched each other.
Yeah.
I think it's important for the records to show.
She went down to the planet where you got smushed, and then she scooped up all of your physical body, gave it to someone who promised that they'll bring you back from the dead, and then took your armor and displayed it in her house.
Yeah, made a little shrine to me. Never touched her, Your Honor. Your Honor, I don't know this woman.
So, the reason why these people are here and it's a crime scene is because Liara is missing and there were gunshots through the glass. It looked like someone attempted to snipe her, but she had shields on, which this person, Teller, who says that she is, she's a specter as well. The fourth specter that we know about in the series.
Ooh, oh, interesting.
Nihilus.
Saren.
You.
Us.
And then
Tell. Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. She says, I'm a specter. Liara, was wearing shields. Apparently she's very paranoid, but she's a smart woman.
Yeah.
Because she went to bed wearing, like...
Right.
Her, like, sci-fi solar energy shields.
Yeah.
You wander around for clues. When you pick up a picture of the Normandy that she has, it switches to... Oh, also, Liara has a painting of Ilos as well, which is fun, which I thought was interesting, neat touch. She has a big mural painting of Ilos, which is the last place that you... was where all the Prothean bodies were.
Were, yeah.
So, we touch this picture of the Normandy, then you get the note that she will be going to the embassy, that Liara will be going to the embassy. You walk over to the embassy with Teller, and then...
The place... blows up.
It explodes.
Like not the whole building, but like
three floors.
Yeah, two or three floors of the building just blow up, and we think Liara's in there. But also, like, a ton of other people are in there. A
crazy amount of civilians.
Yeah.
And then you have to walk through. There's no... Oh, there is some mechs, but there's no real combat in this bit. You're just walking gun out as there's a bunch of screaming civilians.
Well, and Taylor is like... is like, I'll go from the top, you go from the bottom, and we'll meet in the middle.
Because the reason why you're here is because you're here to meet a Salarian who's going to... who has information on where the Shadow Broker is.
Yeah. And so, after the explosion, we split up to go two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Cool line, she says. She's like, just leave some for me. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. and I said, no. have you met me? I'm Shepherd. and so we go in and we start murdering our way through.
And then we get to the room of the Salarian. There's a gunshot. We open the door. And there is a Shadow Broker agent who shot the Salarian that's going to help us. And then Teller shoots the Shadow Broker agent. And then as we're talking, Liara comes through and is like, hey... So,
she's the one who just tried to assassinate me.
Yeah, because I saw them because I doubled back.
And then, like, they were snooping around in my room, like pretending, but, and I wasn't going to let that stand.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you just killed all of these people. So we find out pretty hard that this is, and then it's us and Liara.
Yeah, it's some really cool bits. Like, yeah. So there's a really cool fight where you tackle her out the window, and she uses her biotic thing to like make you both dance in mid air before she drops you. Then Liara like runs and then floats down, and both of them are like biotic fighting, and Liara just takes off, full sprints away, and then you're like yelling for her as she's basically ignoring you and is just running for this woman. You then fight through some people, some Shadow Broker agents. You then get into a taxi.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, which is so fun because we're doing a car chase in flying cars. Yeah. So fucking cool.
It's fucking sick. And the dialogue between the two of them is so fucking good. It's like when... So you're chasing down this woman in this actual like segment that you're playing, and she like blows up a truck, and then the truck is like sliding, and then Liara's yelling truck, and then Shepard's like, "Yeah, I see it."
So cute.
It's really good. And then Shepard's like, "Oh, what guns does this have?" And Liara's like, "This is a cab. It has
no guns."
Fair, I guess.
Yeah, no guns.
It's really great. Oh, it's so cute. Dialogue is so funny. And you know what? I'm really happy that I romance Liara in this, because this whole bit, it's just like they're bickering. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
And it adds this layer of like, I don't know, flavor to the pair of them yelling at each other.
For sure.
Which is really nice.
And for you, some of Liara's behavior makes sense.
Yeah, for real. She's like, she's insane about Shiv.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. And you know what? I'm kind of into Liara because she's really cool in this DLC.
I can't believe this is a DLC. Okay. Versus the last DLC we played, this is
good.
Like, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fucking fun. It's so interesting, and there's so much stuff happening. Again, it's crazy because it's written really well.
It is.
It's so, like, the dialogue, and it's not only written well, but the cutscenes are really good as well. Like, there's a lot of, like, fighting cutscenes. We get to it, like, later on, but there's like some fight. The bit
there's
that even just happened where it's like you tackle her out the window and then she like uses biotics. It's like, it's so fun seeing, this is what the fights in this universe actually look like.
Right. Like, instead of just our like our gunshot fights that we're usually having on the ground, it's like, this is cool shit.
Yeah. It's really fun. She crashes into a hotel.
Yeah. A hotel. Not just any hotel. Because we learn in this hotel, we see like an advertisement on the TV. This is a hotel called Azure, which in Asari means junk. means your genitals. And we are in a fuck hotel.
We're in a fuck hotel.
Yeah.
We're walking through this fuck hotel. We're like walking through rooms, and there are people that are like, "Don't hurt me, I don't have any money on." And there are like working girls that are like, "I don't fucking get paid for this. This is crazy." Yeah.
Yeah.
You have some cool fights, and then you come across Teller.
Yes.
You have an actual big fight with her. The hardest fight in this DLC for sure is Teller.
Yeah.
She's zipping around, summoning people. You eventually end up beating her, and then she says that she's incredibly against Cerberus. And the reason why she's working for the Shadow Broker, even though she's a Spectre, is because the Shadow Broker gives her really good intel on, like, big war criminals.
Oh, right, yeah. So because we find her data pad, and we know that with it we can find the Shadow Broker. And she says that without the Shadow Broker and having given her all that information, like, tons and tons of people would have been dead.
Yeah.
And that she's saved like tons and tons of lives, and that we should reconsider. And I'm like, I'm on board. Except I'm just like, you just killed three stories worth of people just now. So like, maybe I don't believe you entirely about that.
Yeah. And because she's like, she just wants to kill Liara. That's the goal. Because Liara is getting too close, and the Shadow Broker's like, okay, well, she needs to die.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the only problem is that you tried to shoot one of Commander Shepard's close friends.
And that's the problem.
And now you're going to fucking die. Yeah,
I would be, I could hear you out about this because I also fucking hate Cerberus.
Mm.
The thing is, though, you tried to kill my girl.
Yeah.
And she's insane and she shouldn't be as obsessed with me as she is, but she's still my girl. And when I say my girl, let the record show I've never touched her. I just mean she's my friend.
My good, normal
platonic friend who's obsessed with me in ways I can't understand.
You then find the Shadow Broker's ship. In the middle of the Hourglass Nebula. I believe it's in the Hourglass Nebula.
Yeah.
Really fucking cool ship. It's at the edge of a solar storm, so it can't be detected.
Hot.
It is consistently traveling with the dawn of this planet because the nights like make snap freeze. Make all the oceans snap freeze, and in the daytime everything boils, but in the dawn it is just fine enough for the ship to be able to travel. It's fully in the middle of a storm. It's great. You have this whole sequence where you like land on top of it and you're trying to break down into the ship itself, and it's fucking cool.
This game does cutscenes so well.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You like them?
I like. And I don't mean just this game either, because Mass Effect 1 also had me gripped with the cutscenes.
Oh, wow. That's cool. You mean just like, you just like the like big setting and the awe of what's happening?
It's not just that, but I like the I like how integrated it is into what you're doing. It's like, I feel like it... The cutscenes are so interspersed into me doing stuff that it makes me feel like I'm part of the cinema of it all.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really cool. Oh, I'm glad you like that. Yeah. No, it's really good. I specifically really like this DLC for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of. Yeah, this game does do that well, I think.
Yeah.
So you eventually break into the ship. You find Liara's friend. He is like strapped to this chair, getting electrocuted, and like his brain is getting pumped with information, or like from it. There's a whole bunch of weird like computers and stuff hooked to him. If he gets released in any way that isn't turning the whole base off, his brain will fry and die immediately. So then Liara's like, all right. Well, then let's go, because the plan also is not to fight the Shadow Broker or even see him. It's break in, grab the guy and leave.
And get out.
However, when he's like, you're just going to have to shut off the full base, Liara's like, all right, let's go meet the Shadow Broker then.
Yeah.
And then you walk in. He's a fucking weird guy. And it's so fucking interesting. So you meet him. This weird, like, alien thing. It's an alien that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, he's and not anything.
And the reason why we haven't seen him before is because Liara says that he is from a pre-spaceflight civilization. So it's a civilization that hasn't gotten spaceflight. Some people came down, kidnapped a bunch of them, sold them off as slaves, and then he must have killed the previous Shadow Broker and taken his name.
Yeah, which... is so fucking cool, because this guy is like a universal boogeyman, essentially.
Yeah.
And has, and like, is a household scary name.
Mm.
And he's fully like, just shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
And to be like someone who is just like kidnapped, I'm gonna be honest, Ani kind of fucks with that.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
Like, well, yeah, because it's like he was kidnapped, he was like gonna be enslaved, and instead was like, no, I'm gonna become the most powerful
man
in the goddamn galaxy.
The guy who the elusive man wants to be.
Ooh.
Because, I mean...
Interesting,
Elusive Man's whole thing is like, well, I'm all about secrets and blah, blah, blah. And the Shadow Broker isn't being flashy like the Elusive Man is.
Right, isn't being a cunt about it like the Elusive Man is. But
fully
a
thing that everyone knows and is scared of Broker.
He just does
People know the Elusive Man, but they know Cerberus, not the Elusive Man. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a good connect.
Yeah.
I like that.
The Shadow Broker is like something else. Anyway... You then... who did you bring? Who was your extra one party member?
Was Grunt.
Nice. I had Morden. So when you because I thought that Liara and Morden would get on really well.
Yeah.
But when you bring... Whoever you bring in, the Shadow Broker brings up a thing about him.
Oh,
my God. Going back to... I'm so sorry. Going back to the Teller fight, there is a moment where... Oh, my God. She brings up a bunch of, your Shepherd brings up a bunch of previous decisions that you've made. Because I think, I can't remember what it is, and so people are going to have to forgive me here. Teller says something of, something about sacrifice, and then Shiv was like, I let all of the council die.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I let all of the council die, and then I did this thing. I blew up the... I nuked the base on Vermeier. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And it's like, do you think you can stop me? I killed all the council and I did this. I don't fucking care. And then kills her. And it's like, that's the coolest shit in the fucking world.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's really sick. Anyway... I bought Morden, and the Shadow Broker is like, oh, do you know that Krogan will pay really well for an ex-Solarian special forces, especially if they find out that you made the Genophage?
Interesting.
Yeah. And Morden's like, did they say anything about Grunt?
They did, and I don't remember exactly, but I think it was about the Genophage well. Yeah,
it's like a one-line thing, your extra party member gets a thing.
Yeah.
But then you fight him.
Yeah.
And it's fucking cool. It's just like, it's like a really basic fight. It's pretty easy, but there's a bunch of different steps to it. But in between, you like get him down to zero, and then he like recharges, and then you get him down to zero again. But in between each of those recharges, there's a little cutscene.
Yeah.
That's like Shepherd like punching this guy in the face and like ducking under things and like slamming into his shield.
Just being fucking cool.
And Liara like shooting around him and then doing it. And it's just, it's a really fun fight sequence.
It's fun, and it's like, and it's you and Liara. Everything is like the two of you kind of working
together
in tandem.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's rad.
So you end up killing him. By shutting off power, and then you shut off power to the base so that your friend can go, and then you get a bunch of distress calls of people being like, oh, sorry, we lost the connection to you, Shadow Broker, are you okay? And are we still on for this because we lost connection, blah, blah, blah. And then Liara looks at it all and then clicks on and says, don't worry, we had a momentary power failure, the Shadow Broker is back. And then she takes the mantle of the Shadow Broker.
My fucking girl! My fucking girl! Who, to be clear, I am not fucking, is not my girl in any way. But that's my fucking girl.
It's fucking sick.
Is the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's really cool. And then her friend runs in thinking the Shadow Broker has killed Liara, points a gun at her, and then she's just like, leave. This is me now. This is what I'm doing.
I have a new job.
Yeah, and it's crazy. And it's fucking awesome. And it's also because afterwards we have this conversation because Liara for this whole DLC is weirdly cold, does a lot of things like leaves Shepherd behind to go chase people.
Sure.
Does a lot of stuff in cold blood, like does a lot of weird killing and things like that. And then you're like, should you be the Shadow Broker? Because you're having an immense amount of power and you're doing a lot of things in cold blood. And then you have a little conversation about it where she's like, she's like, things need to be done.
Yep.
And it needs to be me to do it.
And it needs to be her. And the most powerful being in the universe, obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really fucking into me.
Yeah.
Like, stalker level shit, to be honest. But she's super powerful, so like,
Well, what's interesting is if you romance her, she is like, hey, so it's been 2 years and a really long 2 years. I don't think we can do this anymore. And you,
for real?
You have the choice to be like, yeah, that's fair. You have things to focus on. Or you can be like, no, I think you're wrong and we should fight for this. And because this whole time she's been really weird and cold, it's kind of given Shepard, it's kind of given Shiv the ick a bit. But in the end, she was like, hey, that shadow broke. So Shiv was the whole time was like, yeah, I don't think we should. And in the last choice, Shiv was like, that was pretty fucking sick though. So yeah, go on there.
Oh my God. So you're sticking with her.
Take her back to the Normandy and there's like a sex sequence where both of you sleep together. And then it's a few weeks later when you head back and she's like sorted everything out.
I think missed opportunity to do it in Azure. The fuck hotel.
Yeah.
But still fun.
It's still fun.
Yeah.
Wow. No, really cool. And then there's a bunch of fun stuff where you can go around and read all of the Shadow Broker's messages. And there is stuff about every member of the crew. All of the dossiers.
Right. They have all our shit.
What's really fun is... So Miranda's... Oh, it has like a little log line as with the fact that the Shadow Broker has also been thinking about recruiting all of these people. Because with
That's
Miranda,
it's
talk to her after the assassination of the elusive man is what is a note on it.
And these are all things that we didn't allow to happen.
Yeah. These are things that we're gonna, and we should have really just let the guy talk.
We should have
let the guy talk.
Maybe we should have let that one happen.
So Miranda has a really cute thing where she's talking to people on a dating app. But has absolutely no time for anyone, which I think is really fun. She also then hooks up with a random guy because Miranda is really blunt in all of their messages. And there's a bunch of like her back and forth with people. And then her like closing the like essentially like eventually swiping left, I guess, on people to be like, no, I'm good. With them being too flowery or too into her.
Yeah.
Or asking too many questions about what she does. And then there's one where it's like, hi, I would like to have sex with you. We should meet in this hotel. And she's like, okay. And then that's that's the only one that has remained open.
That's so funny.
There is a cute one. There is also a doctor's note about Miranda of the fact she can't have kids. She's too genetically, like...
Messed with. Yeah, she's had too much shit done to her.
Morden joined the theater. He has a bunch of theater credits about Earth-based theater shows, which I think is really fun. We love it very much. Jack is really into poetry. Jack sent submissions
Obsessed.
To a poetry competition.
Yeah, not just into poetry.
Sent submissions.
Writes
into,
poetry.
About... under the name Jacqueline Zero is what was what Jack uses as her handle. Grunt is a teenage boy and is getting into books.
Yeah.
And there's this fun bit where you have Jacob's rented movies and one of them is porn. And then under Grunt's rented movies, it's the same porn at the end. He also spells words wrong. You can see his Google searches. Of him spelling Tuchanka wrong and
so fucking cute.
Just trying to like it's fully like because Grunt is he's a fresh born boy but he's a full adult Krogan, but then in this bit it's like, oh, this is a teenager.
Well, because he's going through puberty.
Yeah. But it's just a cute little sequence.
It's so cute.
It's and there's a lot of like fun, cute things where you can read everyone's personal messages and stuff. And it's just interesting and nice.
It's really cute.
Oh my God, Samara has the only things that she has carried with her every trip is like a mug, which is Galaxy's Best Mum mug that has been cracked and put back together a bunch of times, apparently.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's really cool. It's a cool insight into every character and kind of who they are as...
It's cute.
A person.
It's good.
Yep.
It's good world building.
It's really good world building.
Fuck off.
But it's great. As Lair of the Shadow Broker.
Good fucking DLC.
Great.
That's how you do a DLC.
That's
again.
How you do it. For real. That's
for
how
real.
You do it. No, it's fucking sick. Any closing notes?
I want to say thank you for driving the ship today.
Yeah,
I'm fighting for my life.
Really hungover? Yeah. Feeling it?
Woof is what I'll say.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
If only you had agreed with me on Paramore being more culturally relevant today than MCR, I wouldn't have poisoned your drink.
Yeah. I had a feeling that's what happened. It couldn't be that we housed a full bottle.
A full bottle of whiskey.
Couldn't have been that. Truly, something must have been slipped.
We housed a bottle of whiskey after we had gone to a bar and gotten 3 cocktails each.
No. I got 2.
You had 2? We had a whole bottle of sake as well.
That didn't happen. That's crazy. No, I don't think so. That doesn't sound right.
So, next week.
Next week,
we are doing the Reaper IFF mission.
Hell yeah.
This is the last chance to do everyone's loyalty missions.
I'm so glad you said that to me. Yeah. Okay, great.
So you can do them before the finale. But we are going to do Reaper IFF, which is a fairly small mission. And then we are going to do... I don't actually think it's fairly small. It's very good.
Oh,
a lot of shit happens. You're going to be very happy with content that we get. I'm going to be very excited next week because I'm going to talk about one of my favorite characters and how it relates to a comment I made episode 1-2 of the whole of Dorkspawn that I've been waiting to talk about. So really excited about that.
Okay, I'm really excited about that now.
So be finishing people's loyalty missions.
Yes.
You could do it before or after Reaper IFF. Or you can also wait and just do it before we do the big finale.
No.
But the big finale is fairly chunky. And then we're going to be done with Mass Effect 2.
Crazy.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. Very, very, very excited for it, because then we go on to Mass Effect 3 and I'm going to cry about it.
Oh my god.
There's a sequence which I genuinely have... I genuinely struggle not crying at.
In Mass Effect 3?
In Mass Effect 3. But it's because of events that happen in 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are 2 sequences, actually. But anyway. One of them is included the character that we're going to meet next week. Exciting. The final companion.
That's nuts. That's nuts that you just said that.
Okay. With that, doing the Reaper IFF next week.
Yeah.
When do you want to record?
Can it wait for a minute? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Huge. Did it. Let's go rest. Let's go rest you.
Okay.
In your bed. You've got the consumption.
I've got...